Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This morning we focus our attention on our gospel reading from Luke chapter 4, where we hear about Jesus' journey beginning in the wilderness and how that journey is our journey as well. You may be seated. I'm sure you've all heard the saying, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Now that saying comes from a 4th century Chinese proverb, and while we don't advocate the Eastern religious context in which it was first spoken, we do know that that saying is striking for us as we think about what it means. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Because regardless of how far off the end is, or the goal, that first step and every single one in between are vital in order to reach that destination. If you took even just one of them out, you'd be off track or you wouldn't get to where you wanted to go. Whether that's a physical destination or one of reaching some goal that you've set for yourself. And you're never going to be able to take that final step of accomplishment if that first step is never taken. Now we think of Lent as a journey, 40 days, a little more actually, but we don't count the Sundays that are in Lent but not of Lent. And so we say Lent is a 40-day journey. And we know the goal. And we know the road. We took the first step on that road on Wednesday, on Ash Wednesday, as we entered into this season, recognizing our sinfulness and the need for our Savior, whose death and resurrection we're going to be celebrating in just 6 short weeks at the end of this journey. And perhaps you're measuring this journey by your success in staying away from whatever it is that you may have decided to refrain from during this Lenten season, or on how well you're doing with adding something positive into your routine during the season of Lent. Or maybe you're literally counting your steps on this journey if fitness is your goal. And all of these are good and positive things. But if they're all that you're doing during this season, you really are missing the mark. Because these things are all focused on your journey. Which is important for sure, but even more important is your focus on Jesus' journey. His road from the wilderness to the cross, and then up out of that empty tomb. That's the most important journey during this season. And Jesus' journey is what guides our journey. And Jesus' journey begins with our text today as he's tempted in the wilderness by the one who continues to tempt us and lead us astray. Make no mistake about it, the devil is still very much at work in our world today. Mark tells us that this 40 days of fasting and of temptation in the wilderness occurred immediately after Jesus' baptism. He says the Holy Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness. Literally, the Greek ekbalo means to throw out. The Holy Spirit threw Jesus out into the wilderness out after his baptism. Not that Jesus wouldn't have gone on his own, but what we have here is an understanding that the Trinity is working together. All three persons. The Holy Spirit throwing Jesus out into the wilderness. Jesus himself being willing to take on this fasting and temptation. And then the Father sending angels to minister to Jesus during his trying time in the wilderness. What's clear here to me, and hopefully to you as well, is that all three persons of the Godhead are on board with this journey that Jesus is taking. It's not one of them that's forcing the others to do this. God is one, and God is in sync. From baptism to and from the cross, and then up out of the grave. This is Jesus' journey. Walking the road that we couldn't walk so that we wouldn't have to walk it. He takes that path that we so often stray from. And we have the privilege now throughout this season of Lent to walk this road with Jesus. Not just to remember what he's done for us, but to see that as we walk this path, his journey can strengthen us on all the steps that he's called us to take. And even though our struggle will never compare to that of the Lord, our journey certainly at times mirrors his. We can be hungry too when we've gone without. I hope that none of you has ever been 40 days hungry. But when we do hunger and thirst for the things of this world, sometimes those are the things that nourish us and sustain us, the food and the water, the things that God provides to us in that way. And other times it's the things that we simply want. And in these times, we would love to rely on our own abilities to get ourselves out of trouble, to pull ourselves up, to provide for the things that we lack. And I'm sure Jesus would have liked nothing better in that moment when the devil tempted him to command this stone to become bread than to have said that very word and ended his hunger. But that wasn't the Lord's will. And it's not the Lord's will that we rely on our own strength or our own power either. Of course, Jesus works through worldly means. Our Heavenly Father gives gifts greater than we could ever expect or imagine. And he does so to provide for all of our needs. But Jesus' reminder here that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, is a powerful reminder for us to trust in the Lord for all things. Not just certain things, not just some things, but for all things. And maybe you're lacking something today. I don't know every one of your situations, but I do know that some of you are concerned about your own health or about that of those that you love. Some of you are searching for strength to face the day. Others desire security in their relationships. Some of you are dealing with very real and deep struggles. Don't depend on yourself for all these things. On your own, you are never going to be able to meet all of those needs. You're never going to be able to solve all of those problems on your own. And to Jesus' point, man does not live on bread alone. Woman does not live on health. None of us lives on strength or security. But we do know that every word that proceeds from the mouth of God will be uplifting and strengthening to us. Because these words, when we heed them, lead us not to just a strength of our body, but to of our mind and our soul as well. And it's not just these physical temptations that we'll face in this and every season of our lives. Satan is going to continue to prey on your vanity and on your pride, just as he tried to do with Jesus. We would love to be offered all the kingdoms of the world as Jesus was. And as much as Jesus knew that he was the creator of all of these things and that he owned them all already, there was still that human part of him that was tempted to become the earthly king that his followers wanted him to be. We might think that these seemingly silly temptations of the devil would have been easy for Jesus just to simply shrug off. But we have to remember that Jesus' human nature is very real. He felt the same pain that we feel. He endured the same hunger that we have. After having been out in that wilderness for 40 days, he was hungry. And that might be the most understated line in the entire Bible. After 40 days of having nothing to eat, he was hungry. And he really was. He felt the same hunger that we do. And he feels the same pain that we do. And Jesus also experiences the same emotions that we do. In his divine nature, Jesus certainly could have simply rebuffed all of the devil's temptations, but his human nature struggled with the very same things that you and I struggle with. Only he never gave in, which is why his sacrifice was the perfect one, and why his sacrifice was wholly acceptable to his Father in heaven. Because it needed to be. And Satan didn't stop at appealing to Jesus' physical or earthly wants or desires or any pride that he may have had. He took his temptation to the next level when he took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." I think this might very well be the biggest temptation for us as well. Does God really care about me? Would he even notice if I were falling and catch me before I hit the ground? Satan plays on those fears that we all have of being alone, of living a life without the assurance of that safety net. And I think there are times when our greatest concern is for our own safety and our own security, to the point where everything around us becomes a threat to us. And what are we saying if we live our lives constantly in that kind of fear? I have a book on my shelf. One of you borrowed it a while ago. It's called Afraid of All Things. And just reading that title might give you the impression that this is a good thing, being afraid of all things. But the subtitle tells a very different and much better story. The subtitle of that book is Tornadoes, Cancer, Adoption, and Other Stuff You Need the Gospel For. What we're saying when we live with this fear of all things is that we don't really trust that God is in control, that he really does care about us, that he will catch us if we're falling. And if he doesn't, that's okay too, because he has a better plan, one that maybe we can't understand right now. What's Jesus' reply to this temptation? "Don't put the Lord your God to the test." God would have sent those angels so that Jesus would not have struck his foot against a stone. Just like Jesus, while he hung upon the cross, could have appealed to his Father in heaven, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels. And those angels would have taken Jesus down from that cross and protected him, but that was not his Father's will. And Jesus knew that. So he didn't ask for something that he knew was not his Father's will. But if he had done that, his journey would not have been complete. The Father's will would not have been done. And so, during the season of Lent, we remember the journey that Jesus did take, the one that guides our journey. And we remember that our Father in heaven strengthens us as he strengthened his Son to face the temptations of this world, to face the devil head on. As we just sung in A Mighty Fortress, the devil continues to prowl, but he can harm us none when our eyes are fixed on the one who gives us strength. Every one of us is going to take a slightly different path, but the one that we all want to take is the one where we're led by God, where we follow his example. And we say of God's law that it's a curb and that it's a mirror and that it's a guide. And the third use of the law as a guide is where God shows us where to place our feet along this journey, which path to take. Because that road is laid out. Not that we don't have any choices in this life, but that path is narrow. And having an example like Jesus, who walked the road before us and who overcame the temptations that we now face, gives us the strength to take that first step where he walks beside us. And if necessary, even carries us along until we reach that destination that he is preparing for us. Whatever it is that you may be facing today might seem to you like a journey of 1,000 miles. And in truth, maybe it is. But the journey will never be complete if you don't take that first step. Or the second one, or the third one. What's so important to remember, though, is that those steps will only get you to that destination that you desire and that God desires for you if you place your feet in the spots where he directs you. If you allow him to lead you by the hand, if you allow him to guide you, and if you allow him, when you're too weary to do it on your own, to bear those burdens that you're unable to bear yourself. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He's happy to lead and to direct you and even carry you when the journey is too much. He's already carried your sins to the cross. Let him carry you on this journey. May your Lenten journey be one of solemn reflection, of spiritual growth, and of great joy at walking along with Jesus, whose journey guides yours. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.